You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto and we are glad you are joining us this fine evening. By we, I am speaking of myself and of course Art Factora, my producer. How are you doing, Art?
I'm finally settling into my new place.
Oh, that's right. You've moved into the new apartment. How's it going?
Well, it's a garden suite.
Oh, it's a basement suite?
Garden suite, Steve.
Are you below grade?
Part of it, it's all above ground. But yeah, it's all above ground.
You say that with no confidence whatsoever.
It's a garden suite. That's what Craigslist calls it. That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, Craigslist calls it. Hey, there's a musical on about Craigslist down at the Arts Club.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. It's all about, it's songs about Craigslist. I've got to go see it.
Songs about indecent proposals and selling soiled mattresses.
Well, no. I'm not too sure exactly what it is, but you know, I keep thinking, I was looking in Craigslist and I was looking for some reason at one point at the jewelry section and there was,
tell Shannon that's where you got it
from. No, I didn't do that. No, but there was an engagement ring for sale and the person was talking about that they were selling it because of the loser that they had given it to, that the four letter word person gave it back to them and all this sort of stuff. I'm thinking, who's going to buy an engagement ring with this much bad karma attached? Because, I mean, if you didn't know, if you just bought it from a store and you didn't know that this had been given to the woman who then cheated on the guy who then, you know, whatever happened, right? But no, you know the story because they laid it out chapter and verse on Craigslist. I don't think that ring sold.
And that's poor salesmanship. No, you would think that you could probably get a good deal on that, right? Because that guy's trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, he just wants goodbye to bad news. Bad memories, give me some cash.
Yeah, you should have said
I got to buy an Xbox.
My partner passed away in a horrible accident, and it's killing me to sell this, but my kids need
Art,
food.
You're no better at this than the people.
No,
you can't say
on.
My partner passed away in a terrible accident.
Well,
I'm not buying that ring either.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
But how about we got a second ring? No, that's not going to work either.
Now, before we leave your garden suite, mm-hmm. How is the putting together your technology package on suite?
Well,
coming?
I think I'm going to hold off on cable for a while because I figured out how to tether my cell phone, my iPhone, to my Apple TV and watch Netflix.
What does that do to your data package?
I've been carefully watching it, and Netflix allows you to upgrade or downgrade the level in which you're watching it. So if I had it on HD, it'll probably suck it up within watching one episode of Californication, but it's on the lowest level, which is okay because I don't have a gigantic TV.
So you're happy with the Netflix?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, what about your neighbors upstairs? Do they not have Wi-Fi that you can just pirate?
New neighbors have moved up. I've already talked to them about
sharing Wi-Fi.
About sharing Wi-Fi.
And
yeah.
You're going to do that?
Yes, they seem to be okay with it.
Once you're sharing Wi-Fi, do you think you might not get cable at all?
I'm wondering. That's
you know
a huge thing.
Because for $10, I know where your break point is. Your break point is you can't watch the Canucks.
Well, there's also a thing that I was thinking about is that...
You buy the Sportsnet package.
Or I can... Well, there's that.
And then you set up the antenna for the CBC.
Exactly. I was going to say that. The antenna I can plug in.
Yeah.
And I'm in Carisdale, so I think I'm high enough that I can probably get it.
Oh, you know. We gave a link to this place that'll tell you. You put in your postal code and it tells you how many stations you get.
Right.
We did that when we had the fellow on from London Drugs to talk about. What's the name of the antenna? It's IA... See, anyways,
London Drugs has them.
Over-the-air digital, over-the-air uncompressed digital. So for Hockey Night in Canada, going to be great
playoffs,
video for
it's gonna
you.
It's going to be fantastic.
But I was listening to, I was watching, and I think you can buy the Sportsnet package to buy all the Canuck games. And this was going to work in other regions, but we're just on air in Vancouver. So you can get all the Canuck games for, I think, $10 a year for the whole season.
I've got that on my iPhone.
So again, if you have Wi-Fi, do you need cable TV?
Probably not. Not for the time being.
Yeah.
Unless I become a crazy American Idol X Factor fan, which I don't see, or Bachelorette fan, which I can't.
But you
see.
Can also watch those in torrents afterwards or something like
yes.
that.
Yes, only the legal ones, though, of course.
Of course. And Netflix isn't going to get those anytime soon, I don't think. That's the big problem with Netflix is getting enough content. But you're happy with your normal watching habits of everything else.
Well, I think the thing is that a lot of my friends are on Netflix, too, so they introduce you to new TV shows that you've heard of, but you never watched. You know, I've worked evenings, afternoons for such a long time that the evening television hasn't been in my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So there's plenty of shows over the last 5-6 years that I need to catch up on.
Now, one last question. What do you got? Before our next show comes on, we have the big Valentine's Day happening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have plans?
Why you got to put me on the spot, Steve?
Just asking.
Unfortunately, I have to work the morning show on our FM sister station, Virgin. So my evening on Valentine's Day ends at about 8 o'clock at night.
Oh,
because I got to get up at 4 a.m. So
that's a shame.
Yeah,
that's your out.
That is, I guess so, for this year at least.
Good. Well, that's good. We should talk about what's on the show. It's a social media bonanza this week on the show. Angela Crocker is joining us. She has written a book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. She's going to be in talking about, if I qualify as the complete idiot, but she's going to tell us how to create the social network. And then Chris Burge is going to join us. He has a social media boot camp over on Vancouver Island coming up this June, which is becoming a huge event. We're going to talk about that. And we finally have, after a pretty much a coast-to-coast search for a new Mac guy to join us each week, Rick Yeager is going to join us, and he's going to debut as our new Mac guy. What do you think of that?
I am excited. Those are big shoes to fill.
They are big shoes.
Only because the guy before Chris had such gigantic shoes.
I think Chris is heading back to the interior. I'm pretty sure he's heading back to the interior
with his big feet.
He did have big feet. He did. That's the show. So it's going to be worth sticking around for. I'm Steve Dotto. This is Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Since it's the first week of February, I think we should just make it Social Media Day here on Dotto Tech. So we're going to continue on with our social media theme. Joining me now from Victoria, Chris Burge, who is the director of the Social Media Boot Camp. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing just great. So you guys have started, is it 3 years now you've been doing this?
This is going to be the third year.
Third year.
Upcoming June 8th and 9th. Third year, yeah.
So you have basically summer camp for geeks is what it comes down to.
Well, in a way, it's summer camp for geeks, but it's a lot more than just geeks. It applies to pretty much everyone across the board that has any interest in social media, whether you're an end user, and it's funny, I just had someone email me today who does quilting, and she trains people to do quilting, and she wants to use social media, and so she wants to come to the camp. So everything from that right up to power users and corporations. We've got, last year we had TELUS and Rogers as sponsors, and so it's kind of everything in between. So there's really something for everyone.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the skills that people are going to gain if they take in the camp. Now, the camp is how many days? It's 2 or 3 days? 2 days.
It's 2 days.
Yeah.
So it's all day Friday and Saturday. The first half of the Friday is kind of the social media college. We have 6 90-minute workshops, which are more kind of hands-on workshops where they can learn and hone some skills. And then, of course, we have the typical keynote speakers, and we have panels and discussions and roundtables and so on. So it kind of caters to everyone's learning style as well.
So the workshops, what are the, give me some examples of the workshop topics.
So we've got some awesome workshops this year. In previous years, it's been very kind of beginner level because that's where a lot of people were. And of course, we'll have beginner level this year, but we're also going to have some pretty advanced stuff. And I'll give you some examples. There's a tool out there called Tweet Spinner, which is I've been using it for about a year, and it's a pretty high-end tool. It's sophisticated and a little bit difficult to use. But we're lucky enough to have the actual developer and the president of the company, a guy by the name of Peter Bray, coming up from Portland to do a 90-minute workshop on how to use TweetSpinner, and he's got another product called Follower Wonk. And so those are
sophisticated. Is this a similar application like a Hootsuite? Is it a social media dashboard, or is it something more specific?
It's Hootsuite on steroids.
Because Hootsuite's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So he's coming up. So that's going to be an advanced session.
Okay.
Then we have a woman by the name of Jenny Bake, who's from Vancouver. She's an ex-CBC journalist, and she's doing a session on on-camera training and making good videos, which I actually met Jenny at another conference up in Squamish a few months ago, and she did an awesome session there. And we're really excited about that because video is really something that's taken off a lot. And I'm kind of calling 2012 the year of video, because I think that's the way a lot of things are going. So her session, I think, is going to be really well attended because a lot of people want to make video, but they really are uncomfortable in front of a camera or don't necessarily know how to do it. So I think that hers is going to be really well attended.
So does she get into deal with like the nuts and bolts of actually, you know, technically building video, or how you then take that video, how you edit it, how you optimize it for the web as far as length, as far as the timbre of the stories, and then actual distribution?
Well, it's a bit of both, actually.
Okay.
The main thing you're going to get out of her session is how to actually look really good and be effective on camera. Because some of the other nuts and bolts stuff is easy to learn, and it certainly is going to include that, too, in terms of how to upload it to YouTube, how to tag it properly, how to set it up for SEO and so on. But how to look really good on camera, that's something that you have to practice, and that's something that not a lot of people are good at. So she does a phenomenal session on that. And another part of what she does that we're going to do is break everybody up into teams and have them create videos themselves and actually upload them, and there's going to be a contest component so that at the end of the weekend, the team with the most effective video that they've created that day is going to win a pretty awesome prize.
Oh,
so I don't want to say more about it, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Good stuff. I'm looking through the list of speakers that you have, some of which I guess are doing keynotes and other ones are doing sessions, and I see some pretty impressive people and some directions that I think might be kind of compelling. Are you dealing with online payment systems in this one?
We are actually. We've got Christian Taylor,
yeah,
who is the president of a company called Pavement.
Yeah.
And Pavement is kind of the PayPal of Facebook. It's the system that powers all of the commerce on Facebook. So there's not a lot that I know of right now in terms of commerce going on Facebook, but apparently there's a lot more happening down in the U.S. and so on. So that's going to be a really interesting session for anyone who sells online and wants to get in front of a larger audience now, which certainly with 800 million plus users, Facebook is not a bad choice.
Absolutely.
They're going to take you through how to do that.
Now, and I also see Chris Krug there, a wonderful photographer. What's he going to be talking about?
You know what? Whatever he wants to talk about is okay with me. I was so happy when Chris said that he could make it because, he is awesome. Actually, the title of his session is going to be Action is the Antidote to Despair. Empowerment through making, creation, community, and volunteerism. So, yeah, if anyone knows Chris, he's always doing something awesome.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have him. So that's going to be a really interesting talk.
Good. And Stephen Yeager is going to be there from Ubitor and OutsourcingThingsDone.com. What's he going to be on?
Yeah, he is actually on a realtors panel. So
okay.
We have a panel set up just for realtors because we have lots of interest from the real estate community. And the other person on that panel is going to be a local guy here in Victoria named Tim Mayers. And Tim has been on Twitter from almost day one, I think. I think he was one of the earliest Victorians on Twitter and blogging and so on. So he's done really well. And I think, I'll have to double check this, but I believe he's the president of the Victoria Real Estate Board now, or he's on the executive anyway. Him and Stephen are going to do a great session.
And I see a couple of guests from the Citizen Engagement Branch of the province of British Columbia. What are they going to be doing?
Yeah, well, we're lucky enough to have David Hume from the government. I don't have his title in front of me, but
he's the executive director of Citizen Engagement.
Exactly, yeah. So he's talking about citizen crowdsourcing, and certainly he's been at the forefront of social media in the government for a few years now. We also have another panel with Tanya Twinstra from government.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Mike Russell, who is the spokesperson for the Victoria PD Police Department here, along with Lisa Helps, who is a city councilor. We're going to do another session on more kind of grassroots municipal community engagement.
When you say citizen crowdsourcing, can you expand on that a little bit?
Or have I thrown you under the bus? David do that in his session. But what I from the description of his talk that I read, it's how the government has used and plans to use crowdsourcing as a way to get input from the citizens on how things are going, what they want to see, you know, how they want to be communicated to, and how they want to provide feedback and so on.
Okay, good. Well, that sounds so. It seems to me that the depth of topics and in the kind of the reach is pretty far reaching. When you say that, really anybody who's in the communications world and business, it really kind of it looks like you're hitting pretty much all areas.
I'm pretty impressed myself with it. I'm really happy with the lineup we've got, and it does really cover the gamut. For whether you're a business person, you're in government, we've got a couple of sessions on the arts, so we've got some authors. We've got we're doing a session on local, using local social media, a guy by the name of Simon Salt coming up from Texas. He's the author of Location-Based Marketing.
Oh, that'll be fascinating. That'll be useful.
We're doing a session on QR codes with people who really know what QR codes are and how to use them, because there's so much of it being done incorrectly now.
Yes.
So there really is something for everyone, yeah.
Now, how important from the first 2 years is just the networking component of this, is being there, going to the wine and cheeses at the social events and meeting other people who are either facing the same challenges or can become partners or can become sources for individuals? Mm-hmm. How important is that whole networking focus?
Networking is huge, and every year at the end of the social media camp, we do a survey and we ask people, what did you like most, what did you like least, etc. And what you like most, the majority of the answers we always get is the networking. I met so-and-so, I made this business connection, I met a partner that I've been talking to on Twitter for ages but had never met in person, so we get tons of that. The other thing we're adding this year that's going to make the networking even a bit better are roundtable sessions, and also we're going to have a bunch of coaches or mentors kind of on hand,
mm-hmm.
and if you feel like, you know, you're a beginner and you want a coach or a mentor for the weekend, we're going to assign somebody to you. And they will help you pick sessions. They will hang out with you at the session and explain things and so on. So for beginners, there's a real kind of hands-on aspect to it as well that people are going to be able to benefit from.
What's the cost of taking the camp?
Right now, the early bird tickets are on sale for $249.
Okay.
And there's also something we call, and this is the first year we've done this, called the All Access Pass. And the All Access Pass will get you entrance to the camp, social media camp, as well as the West Coast Social Media Awards dinner. We haven't talked about that yet, but we have a social media awards dinner on the Friday night.
Mm-hmm. And Erica M is emceeing
those
that.
Too. We'll also get you a copy of Chris Brogan's book, Google Plus for Business, and we'll get you a T-shirt, and we'll get you into the after party, all for $349. So
after party.
Good value there.
See, I just want to come and hang. I just want to come and hang out at all the social events. That sounds like
we would love to have you. Yeah, there's going to be two or three parties going on, and you can just come and party and just soak up all the social media.
That's pretty much me. It's just all about the partying. And now this is not just what's your expected audience? How many people do you expect to have?
Well, last year we had 670, so
wow.
Given the amount of planning and pre-planning we've done this year and PR across Canada and down the west coast of the U.S., we're hoping for somewhere between 800 and 1,000 this year, and it's at the Victoria Conference Center, so it can hold up to about 1,200. So we've got plenty of room.
As any small business people that are certainly in the Victoria area or in the Lower Mainland area, this is going to be an outstanding opportunity to network with a really vibrant community. So that alone, I think, is going to have tremendous value. Now, your business doesn't just have the social media camp, which they have to come to you. You also come to different communities and give a taste of what you offer at the social media camp as well.
That's right, yeah. Last year, we kind of expanded what we do with Social Media Camp to something called the Social Media Camp Workshop Series. And so what that is a one-day workshop where we go around to different cities, so far just in British Columbia, but we're going to be expanding that this year. But we've been to Nanaimo, Victoria, and we're actually going up to Kamloops this week. Mm-hmm. And so what those are one day, very much more of a hands-on working session. So there's four sessions, each 90 minutes. Each covers a different topic. So generally, it's social media strategy. And then we go into some of the tools like Facebook, Google+, Hootsuite, Foursquare, blogging, and so on. So the people can actually bring their computers. We sit down and work with them, set stuff up, and they can walk out of that session with a strategy template in hand and be ready to kind of go to the office the next day and hit the ground running.
So all of this information is at socialmediacamp.ca. You know what I got to do with you is I got to touch base with you and I got to see if I can queue up some of your guests, use you as a source for some of your guests, get them on the radio show here. I think they'd be outstanding for us.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, well, we've got Chris Brogan and Erica M., the two keynotes, I'm sure would love to talk with you, and you're welcome to have access to anybody you want.
Awesome. Anybody else that'll do my job for me. That's the power of social media, is finding other people to do my job for me. I'm all about that.
Beautiful.
Chris Burge is the director of the Social Media Bootcamp. As I mentioned, once again, the URL is socialmediacamp.ca. The camp itself is in June. It's June the 8th and 9th. Victoria, and the hotels and all that sort of stuff, are they all on board so people can get a good rate of hotels?
Yeah, we've got good rates at the Executive House, the Inn at Laurel Point, and the Accent Inns. And we're actually putting together right now, it's not finished yet, but we're putting together a package for folks from Vancouver where it's going to be bus, hotel, and transfers to and from the hotel.
The social media bus. Oh, that's going to be so much fun. It'll be tweeting in location-based services all the way.
The tweet bus.
There we go. That's what you should call it. Chris Burge is the director. Thanks so much for your time.
Great.
Good luck
with
the camp.
Nice talking to you, Steve.
Okay.
Cheers.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me in studio now is Angela Crocker. Angela is an author. She's a speaker. She's a communications specialist. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Your book compelled me to contact you, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network.
There's always that danger when you put the word idiot in a title.
Well, it's such a popular franchise. This book is out. It's a fairly new book. Just basically social networking 101, or is it more focused on corporations and enterprise as opposed to individuals?
It's somewhere in between. It's more focused on community groups, businesses that want to reach out to their users, product users, people they're service providing to, and then it can be scaled up to big corporate organizations, but you don't see a lot of individuals creating their own social network.
Okay, so creating a social network as opposed to social networking. The difference is I'm trying to build a community here. I'm trying to create some online momentum.
Well, the way I look at it is I divide social networking as an activity from social media as a tool. So I consider things like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn that are familiar social networks as social media tools that we use to create communities.
Okay.
And the action that we take within those communities is called social networking. It's way older than computers. We've been doing it since the dawn of time. It's about that personal interaction that happens. And in this case, we now have the opportunity to do it across distance and time through the computer.
So why are the most compelling reasons that individuals need to develop the skills to know how to create a social network?
Well, among the things that people are most concerned about is actually privacy and control of data.
Okay.
When you build a social network on Facebook, which lots of people do, and many people use the advice mm-hmm. in the book to do just that, but when you reach out to your community, you're at the mercy of Facebook. They're getting the benefit of all the collective data about your users, mm-hmm. the advertising dollars that are possible, the advertising revenue that you might invest, and you don't quite know what's going to happen with the data that you have. So having control of your own network allows you to give your participants really sound, guidelines that says this is how we're going to use your data. We're going to be transparent about it, or maybe not. I guess there are some that would create a network and use the data as they see fit. But it gives them great control. And those are really the main reasons people do it.
So I'm a little bit confused. If I'm creating my own social network, am I bypassing those tools of LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, or am I using those tools? Because what you're saying, I'm kind of hearing two things now. I'm hearing that that if I use those tools, I'm losing control. But I thought I had to use those tools.
Well, quite honestly, you do.
Okay.
Creating an online community, whether you want to create your own private space or you want to use an existing space, you're going to end up doing the existing spaces because people aren't going to come to your new community without you guiding them to it. So just as with a website, with a blog, we're all accustomed now to having outreach or outposts on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google Plus, all of these new darlings that who knows what's going to be around in a year's time. And so we need those kind of outposts in order to draw people to our communities. The idea is to think of your online community as an entire ecosystem, not just the little bit of real estate where your private community exists.
Okay. So your private community would be your own website, which nobody can create as much interaction in as you're going to get on one of the other big sites.
Exactly.
So where do we parcel it? Do we use the LinkedIns and the Facebooks of the world to draw people to it? Because there's something... There are some barriers to that. People are concerned about using Facebook for business. They're concerned about the perception of using it to draw people in. So how do we then use these tools to effectively bring people into our domain, which is our own website?
Well, it comes from a blend of online and offline marketing. Using tools like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn will sort of direct people to your community. And if they're interested, they're going to sign up and become part of your community separate from their participation anywhere else on the internet. However, a lot of the participation in your private community might come from other activities, traditional advertising, public speaking, teaching engagements, writing books, being part of conferences, and just the networking that
happens.
Doing
a radio show.
Exactly. So there's this blend that happens, and how people find their way to your community is going to depend on who your target market is.
Okay, so for the average, I guess there is no average person, but some rough guidelines then. What sort of advice do you give people about the sort of type of information that you want to gather as people come to your site? For example, at my site, you can go and you can participate fully in my site without ever signing up and becoming a member. I just want it to be that way. If you want to become a member and you want to get the newsletter, you have to sign up for the newsletter. But other than that, you can come and you can look at all the data and content that I have at my site without me ever knowing who you are. Am I doing it right?
That's how I do it. So I would say yes. Yes, I am exactly the same thing. My data and information is there for anyone who wants to use it. There is an opt-in email newsletter if anybody wants to subscribe. For the average user making that decision about whether or not to create a community, there's a whole series of things to consider. What do you want to create? What's your objective? Why are you doing it? There's no build it and they will come on the internet. There's literally tens of thousands of these social networks that have been built, many of which serve such niche interests that they only have a dozen or maybe 100 members. And that's all the people on the whole planet who would ever be interested.
So tell me, in your research, because you did a lot of research before you wrote the book.
I sure did.
Give me an example of a brilliantly integrated social network where a company where you just said, oh, wow, these people get it. And then I'm going to ask you to give me an example of people who just had no clue.
Well, one of my favorite examples, and I've talked about it before, is a site called The Pioneer Woman.
Okay.
And within The Pioneer Woman...
I'm a member.
You are a member. Excellent.
No, I'm only kidding.
I knew you were a pioneer.
I don't think I'm either, actually.
All right. But, well, within The Pioneer Woman, if you were to join, you would find a community called The Tasty Kitchen, which is sort of a subgroup within the Pioneer Women community, which is interested in food and recipes and putting meals on the table and entertaining and all the kind of ancillary things that go with that. I think they've done a brilliant job of integrating the two, where there's tremendous amount of content available, lots and lots of people obviously visiting and participating, volunteering their recipes, commenting on others, sharing variations, improvements, all of this stuff that's happening spontaneously by the users. The owner of the network only sparks that interaction. I think that's the sign of a really successful network, is when the users of the network...
got engaged.
Get engaged, exactly.
Absolutely. So who should have been successful, but you just looked at it and went, oh man, So let's throw somebody under the bus.
Well, there's one group that comes to mind, and I can only sort of remember part of them. It's not that I'm trying to dodge the question. They're a live action role play group. So one of these LARPing groups that goes out.
I've never heard of that.
LARPing? Oh, this is...
I've never heard of LARPing. Is that like the historical reenactments?
That's one way of doing it. There's vampire ones. There's Roman conquerors.
Art, which one are you in?
None, thank you.
Oh, come on. You're in the Filipino comedian one.
Yes, there's only three of us.
Perfect. Like I said, there's lots of niche communities out there.
Okay.
So this particular LARPing group, they have an online community. They seem to be a very technically savvy group of people. But somehow they miss the boat. Like they have conversations. I can see them. I'm not a member of the community, but what I can see publicly, they're talking over one another. They're organizing something for Saturday while somebody else is organizing something for Saturday. And so I think the owner of the network actually had some work to do in order to moderate and make some connections and bring people together so that they were working towards a common purpose. That's why the community exists in the first place. And they've kind of missed the boat, which is too bad.
So before you create a social network, I think you need a baseline of understanding of all of the social media.
I would agree completely.
So in an order of importance and kind of if we've got listeners, because we've got a lot of baby boomers out there that may or may not be online yet or really getting down with the whole social media
side. Sure, but they are the biggest growing demographic in
many
social networks.
So what order of engagement would you recommend for them as they start on their journey?
Well, if they are participating as just citizen average mm-hmm. person of interest, I would actually suggest starting with Facebook.
Perfect.
It's a big network. There's 800 million users. If you cannot find a few people to talk to, then maybe you don't need to be social networking online. You need to get out and find some new friends. It's fairly simple to use. It's free to sign up. And there's lots of ways to engage. Whether if you're a gamer, there's all those built-in games that I personally have mm-hmm. blocked. They drive me insane.
Yes.
The Farmville and the Mafia Wars and all those things. But if that's your thing, you can do it on Facebook.
A lot of people like that start, yeah.
Exactly. If you're about shopping and brands, there's all kinds of brands you can follow that are doing interesting things.
Do you share people's initial concern around privacy, because that's always the anybody who it seems to me like anybody who's resisting Facebook at this point is resisting for a reason.
It's
because they've got a reason, and the number one overriding reason is they don't want Facebook to own their information. They don't want their that sort of stuff. Do you think that's a legitimate concern?
Up to a point. I think people need to educate themselves around the issues of privacy and what they are sharing or not sharing. And I teach a workshop at Douglas College for business entrepreneurs, many of whom are in that 40-something plus mm-hmm. Category. And they have this fear about Facebook, and it's all about privacy. And so I talk about something I call the 3P spectrum. This isn't in the book. It's just something I use in the classroom.
Fair enough.
But for me, the 3Ps are private, personal, and professional. And your professional self has to be out in the world. Your personal self makes you more interesting than the person who talks shop all the time. And your private self should really stay offline.
Mm-hmm.
And I even go so far as to use Ernie and Bert as an analogy. So their professional lives is all about education. They mm-hmm. teach children the letter M, the number 2, how to play nice, how to share. That's their professional lives. We also know a little bit about their personal lives. We know that Ernie likes to have rubber ducks in his bubble bath. And we know that Bert has pigeons on the roof. What we don't know and what we will never know is whether Ernie's filed for bankruptcy or Bert suffers from hemorrhoids. So there's this very private part.
Okay. You're right. We don't know that. We don't know about the Muppets. Yes, plumbing.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so Facebook is, and I agree with you, it's the start. And it's really your responsibility. Don't share anything that you don't want to share.
Absolutely.
That you feel uncomfortable sharing.
I think people should also take a moment and educate themselves about the privacy settings.
Yes.
Even just signing up, knowing that the default settings are probably not what they want, and making that one of their first stops that first time they log in before they've shared any content. Just to crank it back to friends only, mm-hmm. that's a safe place to start.
And I think for most people that is, if you are a person that's steeped in business, if you're all about business communication and stuff, instead of starting with Facebook, LinkedIn, LinkedIn.
I would agree.
And that's how I found you, is that you just happened to come up as a contact in LinkedIn. And I quite often read through people I may know or should know. I can't know how they don't know how they name
it. I think
it.
They change it just to confuse people.
But I always look through that, and I found quite a few guests for the show and other people that live in the area that I think I should know. And I just fired off a quick email to you, and you fired it back to me. And within a couple of months, we had you on the show, and I had a free book, so it's worked out well for me.
That's good deal.
And I'd like to come back and kind of circle back maybe at another visit and talk to you about LinkedIn. But you mentioned one community which is I think is the fastest growing community right now, which is Pinterest.
Yes.
And since you mentioned the mothers of pioneers, what were they called?
Pioneer women.
Pioneer women, sorry.
That's all right.
And it seems to me a very crafty community, and I'm a little bit afraid of this community at Pinterest. But tell me about Pinterest, because it's hit my radar.
Sure. Well, Pinterest is still in a invitation-only sort of semi-beta system. So,
is it really?
Yeah, you have to be invited by somebody who's on the inside in order to get in. I'll hook you up if you like, Steve.
I don't know if I want to hook up.
Well, the thing about Pinterest is it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because it started out with artists, crafters, foodies, photographers, people who love pets of varying, dogs, cats, whatever, sharing photos and being really connected. What's now happened is it's on the radar of the marketing world. And if I get one more invitation to an invitation, maximize your Pinterest marketing potential, reach new users, I'm probably going to kill someone. Okay. I just said that.
That's it. Remember that private, personal, public thing?
You just broke your rules. I did.
Radio is sort of like Facebook. I'm telling you right now, people listen.
Yes.
Okay. But Pinterest is all about, so the philosophy behind it is I just basically find something interesting and tag it? Is it kind of like you pin it.
And think of it as digital bulletin boards. Have you ever had a vision board in your office or been forced to take a course or something where you had to make a collage of what you love or what you want to vision yourself? You can use Pinterest as though you have an infinite number of bulletin boards available to you. So I have one bulletin board that's crafts. I have one that's food. I have one that's places I'd like to go, one that's books I'd like to read.
And then it populates because of people who are your friends in Pinterest and what they like. Is that where the feed of ideas comes to your board?
Partially. When you install when you sign up for Pinterest, you can install in your browser a little pin it button.
Okay.
Just as you can share it to Facebook button, those kinds of things. So anything I stumble across on the internet that has an image attached to it, I can pin it to Pinterest. At the same time, I have people that I follow. So every user of Pinterest has friends, followers, fans. It's hard to know what the terminology is going to flesh out to be. And so when you log into Pinterest, you can see your own boards, but more likely you're going to browse through the boards of other people and see what other people have pinned. And just as in Facebook or other social networks, if you're interested, you can give it a like or you can share it to your own boards.
Okay. I'm looking at bathrooms now. Art's browsing through bathroom pictures.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Art.
Is that yours?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
good.
But I have a bathroom in desperate need of renovation.
Well,
that's
that would
inspiring.
Be expensive to do. Okay. thanks for the. I realize we've kind of morphed away from creating a social network to talking about Pinterest, but you're the first person I've had on the show that kind of gets Pinterest, so I needed to ask you about that. So, creating a social network, it's available from your major booksellers, it's available in digital and online.
Yes, Amazon, Chapters Online, bookstores,
we'll
absolutely.
We'll put a link to it, and anybody who's. You don't have to be a complete idiot to use it, but it helps.
It does help. I suppose so.
Good. Angela Crocker is my guest. Links to her website, which she does marketing communications and advice for companies, is here as well. I guess you have listings of your courses that you teach there?
I sure do. Yeah, all at beachcombercommunications.com.
Awesome. Angela Crocker is my guest. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We have two massively huge, tremendously exciting giveaways this week at the Dotto Tech site. First, we're giving away NetTalk Duos. We're actually giving away two NetTalk Duos, which are the voice over IP phones that will give you basically free local and long distance calling anywhere in North America for whoever wins it. And then next year you have to spend like $30 to get it renewed or something like that. NetTalk Duo, we did an interview with them last week. And we also have a copy of QuickTax. TurboTax, which we're giving away one copy each week here on the show. And where do people go for that, Art, for those wonderful gifts?
Dottotech.com.
Dottotech.com. So to win a copy of NetTalk, a NetTalk Duo, or a copy of TurboTax, which I encourage everybody, do your taxes online.
No
use
paper.
The virtual services. No more paper. File them online. Use the net filing service. It saves you time. It saves the government money. It saves you money. You get your tax return back quicker at the end. It basically turns doing your taxes into a pleasurable experience.
Could you write off your NetTalk price for a year?
No, I don't know. Well, you know what?
You can
ask the folks at TurboTax because they've got free online tax advisor.
You're saving money here, there, and everywhere.
Oh, man, you set me up beautifully for that, Art.
You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Cedric Tetzel from London Drugs joins me to talk about all things tech. How are you doing today, Cedric?
Doing very well, thank you.
You are. You get to be the first person on DottoTech to talk about Windows 8, because you've looked at it. I haven't played with it yet.
I feel very privileged.
Now, you got to look at it at CES. Was that the first place you saw it?
Yes, and after seeing it at CES, I was sorely tempted to download the pre-beta
you were?
Onto my office machine because I was so excited about it.
Why would you want to download it on your office machine? You've had experience with Microsoft pre-betas and betas before, and it doesn't usually work out well for any of us, Cedric.
Yes. However, what I saw impressed me.
Okay.
A few things. One, it works on fundamentally the same hardware platform as Windows 7.
Okay.
So from a security standpoint, for me to download pre-beta, it is one less thing to worry about.
Okay.
And you have some conflict. So upgrade is relatively easy. And I've also seen some of my colleagues download it, and they seem to be working okay. There are the odd glitches because after all, it is a pre-beta. It's not ready for delivery. But at the demo, I also saw something that really attracted me, is that it has the same user interface or very similar user interface as my Windows phone.
Okay. I am not sure I'm down with this direction. Apple's on this path. Now, Microsoft is on this path where they're making our computers work like our mobile devices. Because it hasn't worked well making our mobile devices work like our computers because of screen real estate and interface. I understand that. But this passion for unified interface, I'm not sure I'm down with it.
So the interesting you should mention that, because on a phone you have a very small piece of real estate.
And so the tiling system that they've done for Windows Phone 8, or Windows Phone 7, I guess is yep. what it is, it's good. They've done a good job on it. But I don't think I want that on my desktop.
But if you see an interface which has the basic elements of the Windows Phone interface of blocks and tiles, mm-hmm. But if you change that and think of it as tiny little windows showing what your applications are actually actively doing at that time. So your start screen, for instance, could be showing your calendar. It can be showing emails coming in another block. Can be showing your Twitter feeds. And all that in front of you. And it's a matter of choosing the application rather than having going through a menu system.
I am having so much trouble not referring back to what Apple's doing whenever you mention this, because you're talking about expose. That's what you're talking about. It's the way Apple shrinks down the computer screen so you can see all of your open documents and running processes, and then you can just pick and choose. Is it similar?
It's very similar, and you can also have the you can also organize your different groups of applications into different screens. So as you swipe from one screen side to side, you can have a screen that only shows your work applications.
So you have virtual desktops happening.
Right. So you can swap it over. You can have your social media type application. Mm-hmm. Another one with your games.
Is Microsoft coming up with any new interface devices along with Windows 8, do you think? Apple came out with their Magic Pad, their large trackpad, which allows you to do a lot of gesture stuff to navigate these screens. Do you think we'll see something similar from Microsoft?
One thing interesting which we saw that was actually a virtual keyboard on the screen.
Okay.
Now, clearly they are designing that with the tablet devices mm-hmm. in mind. But the keyboard isn't your standard straight-off keyboard. They have both a straight-off keyboard and also a split keyboard, which is designed for people who want to type with their thumbs.
Okay.
So it's very tablet-friendly by choosing one keyboard or another. So that type of interface they have shown. They haven't shown any of the surrounding hardware around it.
Okay.
But if you think about it, last year they introduced their new mouse.
Mm-hmm.
That is designed for Windows 8.
Okay. And so it's got a lot more gesture type control.
Exactly. That's right.
Which is the direction we're going. So Windows 8, as it'll be in the news a lot over the next year, 18 months until it's finally released, or however long it's going to be. Maybe it'll be shorter. But the bottom line is we're going to be seeing Microsoft moving towards a very unified delivery of their tablet product, their phone, and their desktop PC. And let's give them credit where credit's due. We all like the interface on their phone.
Yes.
So hopefully Windows, and you look like you like Windows 8.
It's very exciting. It's not normal for people to get excited about operating systems.
But we're not normal people.
Not normal people. So it's turn to crank of our geeks.
Oh, good. Okay, Windows 8. You can't see it yet at London Drugs, but you can see lots of other way cool stuff. Thanks, Cedric.
Thank you.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. MacTech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Welcoming Rick Yeager into studio. Rick is at appman.tv. He's a Mac fan. Are you a fanboy?
I am a fanboy. Yeah, pretty much.
lots of time in the Mac world. I want to talk about Apple's announcement. I guess a week and a half ago, a couple weeks ago now, they announced a new, basically a new publishing the direction that they're taking with iTunes U and with iBook Publisher.
Right.
iBook Author. Yes.
Author.
So Apple has a commitment to education, and they've basically taken iTunes and made a custom version for universities. Is that the best way of describing iTunes U?
It looks like the App Store on your iPad or your iPhone. And it includes hundreds of universities, colleges, academies, and institutes. The Smithsonian is on there. There's museums on there. And this time around, they added K through 12. So kindergarten through grade 12 schools can add their curriculum to the system.
And there is pay-for curriculum. There's textbooks that you can buy, but there's also literally thousands of free courses that you can basically audit or take. Some that you can even get credit in at iTunes U for university
for
level courses.
Taking them. Yeah. The courses, I did a quick scan through just to see what kind of courses are available. And
yeah.
I found stereotactic radio surgery.
Okay.
You can take that for free.
Yeah, I did that, but you know, it wasn't quite what I expected.
Not what you expected. There's the Backyard Farmer.
Oh yeah.
National Geographic's Masters of Photography.
Oh, that would be useful.
Very.
That's a free course. So the National Geographic photographers are going to teach you how to take pictures.
Exactly.
And how long did you dive into that course and take a look and see how long it would take?
No, I checked this out last night and I was kind of astounded at how much was there, and I'd like such a short period of time to, like, my life is so short. I want to cram all this stuff into it.
What was a great Gandhi quote? It says, "Live as though you're going to die tomorrow. Learn as though you're going to live forever."
Excellent quote.
That's a great quote. Okay, so iTunes U is not available to our Windows friends.
No.
So they can just turn off the radio now if they want. But
sorry.
If you're on a Mac, you can download this onto your Mac desktop, or you can download it onto your iPad or your iPhone. It's
correct.
All available across the board.
And it incorporates with the iBooks, which
yes.
I'm old enough to remember when iBooks were notebook computers.
Yes.
And now they're software.
Yes. And so basically you could just browse through the library, much like you're in iTunes, and you just browse through, and then you just choose and download different courses that you can then take. And they aren't taught in real time. They're all packaged up for the most part, where you can, but all of the resources come along with each of these books.
Yeah, you get your syllabus, you get your assignments, you can take notes, which if there's an iBook textbook to go along with it, the notes just incorporate back and forth between the book and the course.
And so some are very sophisticated, some of them are not quite as sophisticated.
Some are just simple videos, interviews with, if you check out the Academy of Achievement.
Okay.
It's got interviews with like George Lucas and Steve Jobs and great achievers.
Oh, okay.
So that course would take a few minutes.
Yes, you know, but you're basically working with it. I downloaded one called The New Entrepreneurs from the Open University, and it's a multi-part course where there's videos that are supported, that the prof recorded his lectures. Basically, you listen to the lectures and then you fill out you do the assignments, and then you have learning outcomes for each and every chapter and each and every module as you work your way through. And it's tremendously sophisticated.
Apple has created its own school. Like, for all these years, all the platforms have been trying to break into education. Apple just said, you know what, we'll just start our own school.
Yeah. And this is disruptive technology for schools. Now, as the consumer going to downloading iTunes, first of all, it's a no-brainer. It's free. You've got to do it. You've just got to go look and see what's available, yeah. And it will inspire you. But on the other side of the coin, the announcement that Apple made with their iTunes, with their iBook author,
I
keep forgetting the name of it, but that allows us to create these interactive textbooks and these interactive courses. And anybody who has any expertise in any area can now design a course.
Right. And if you were familiar with any of the other iApps out there, iWeb and that sort of thing, you'll be able to dive into this application, Mac only, for free application, and create whatever kind of learning material or even a storybook. You could put your resume on there if you wanted to.
And it's very much like using the Keynote. It's very much like using Keynote as far as building a slideshow and kind of walking.
And you can actually import Keynote
text
into
yes.
it. And
again, free.
Free.
But there is some concern
yeah.
about that, because Apple's publishing parameters
right.
means that it's a little bit confusing, but basically you're allowing Apple to make, you can't make money off it outside of the Apple universe once you create
right.
that book. You can take the content and rebuild it in something else, but
exactly.
the version that you publish with the iBooks author, it has to go through Apple Store.
So what Apple's saying is, we'll give you this free tool to create an amazing book, but anything you make with our free tool, we want you to keep on and in our ecosystem.
There we go. So it's all about iTunes.
iTunes U.
iTunes U. Check it out online. And if you are looking at just basic courses to learn how to use the Mac, well, MacStation is the place to go. They've got great courses teaching people iOS 5, Apple's operating system, how to use a lot of the core tools with Apple. And a lot of their courses, just like iTunes U, are free. But unlike iTunes U, they're taught in person. You go down to the store, you sit down, and you're in a class, and you have a real live teacher. Good fun. Check them out at MacStation. Rick Yeager at appman.tv. Thanks great. For your time.
Thank you, Steve.
MacTech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation, who said business and pleasure don't mix?
Art Factoria, we have run out of time. I had a good vibe today in the show.
Yeah, they were all brand new guests today.
I was really fishing for Chris Burge to invite me over there for the conference. He sort of invited me over to the social media conference.
He told you about the bus, Steve.
He told me about a bus. Yeah, but he didn't say, and there's a seat on the bus for you, Steve. So I'm going to have to work on him a little bit more. But that sounds like a good conference. See, I think you could benefit from a conference like that, because all of the stuff that we're talking about social media, really, other than as radio producer Art, as comedian Art Factora, you're
aware.
A brand. You really, I mean, you do a good job on Twitter. How many followers do you have now on Twitter?
Just over 900.
Oh, I passed you.
It's not a competition, Steve.
It's everything is a competition.
Well, if it's competition,
you have to measure yourself against somebody.
Do you forget that when we first started looking, I had a higher clout score than you?
You did have a higher clout score than me.
So,
but no more. We should try and figure out a way to head over there and to cover the entire conference at their expense is what I'm thinking.
Well, he's in our green room listening to this, so I'm assuming he's going to get the hint.
He was on the phone.
All right.
You can't pull stuff like that.
Well, he's probably listening right now anyway.
In a green room.
In a green room.
In a green room somewhere. With that, a reminder, drop by our website where we are giving away NetTalk Duo and TurboTax this week on the show. Next week, we've got more great stuff lined up for you here on Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto. He is Art Factora.
And I think that's Chris calling right now telling us we got free tickets to go.
No, it's not.
Okay.
We will see you next week right here on Dotto Tech.
DottoTech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.